Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. We praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you on today. And if you are listening to me right now, you know what time it is. It is Saturday. Amen. It is Saturday. I'm thanking God for being here on today. This is a part of, you guys are a part of my life in Jesus' name, and I thank God for each and every one of our listeners in Jesus' name. Praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. And if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed. Amen. Not because you're listening to my voice, because it's not my voice that blesses you, but God, thank God that if you're listening to me right now, you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give God praise on today in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here. Amen. Amen. We praise God for this beautiful day. Amen. It's nice outside. Amen. It's nice outside. Amen. I don't know where you're listening to me from, but amen. Here on the East Coast, it's nice. Amen. We praise God for want to first give honor to God, who is ahead of our life in Jesus' name, giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my first lady/co-pastor, Cosette Trotman Tuggle. Amen. And giving honor to the watchman on the wall for this network in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. Bishop Charlene Cook. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On today, I want to start off by saying, where is the church? The question. Where's the church? You might say, well, what do you mean, where's the church? You're starting off kind of strong there, Minister. What are you talking about? Where is the church? The reason why I ask that question today is because today we are living in a day and time where we have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of souls out there that are lost, a lot of souls that are out there that are broken. And I ask the question because where is the church? The church is supposed to be a place where people, whether they be in holiness or whether they not be in holiness, is a place where they can come unto the Lord and relieve their self from all of their issues and problems and circumstances. But if they do not have a place to come to, where do they go? Where do people go? They turn to different avenues to look for relief. They turn to things like drugs, things like alcoholism and different other things. And it turns their lives upside down. So I ask the question again today, where is the church? This modern age of church era has not done its job. Yes, I see, I watch on Facebook and TikTok and on different social media platforms, on YouTube and things like that. I see, you know, the church, you know, they're shouting and they're running around the church and different things like that. And I see a lot of preachers preaching, you know, prosperity messages a lot of times. You can get this car, and you can get this house, and you can get this job, and you can get, but very seldom do I see and hear preachers talking about the spiritual growth of man. I'm going to say it again. Very seldom do I hear or see them talking, preachers talking about the spiritual growth of man, teaching on spiritual growth, teaching on having a prayer life, teaching on having a fasting life, teaching on having a consecrated life, teaching a life of holiness, not teaching about how to start a business, not teaching about how to build your credit line so you can get that new house, even though that is important, because the Bible does say occupy until he comes. But I'm more worried about the spiritual side of things, because now this is detrimental. It is very detrimental. It is very detrimental. And I say that a fourth time. It is very detrimental to the soul, that the soul be fed. It is very detrimental that a man's soul be fed before the natural. And it seems like man's flesh is being fed more and more day to day than the man's spirit, than the man's soul, than a woman's soul, than a child's soul is. Their flesh is being pleased more than the spirit is being pleased. And it hurts when you have preachers that are actually standing on the word of God and they're trying so hard to preach the word of God, and they're trying so hard to teach the word of God, and they're trying so hard to live the word of God. And it's like we're not even knocking at the door of man's hearts. But I'm here to tell somebody today, keep on, if you are on the wall, stay on the wall. If you are preaching truth, continue to preach truth. If you are wherever you are in Christ, and you are standing on for holiness, keep standing on holiness. Because God's going to have a church. God said that he will have a church that has made themselves ready without spot or wrinkle. His word does not lie. Amen. So today I want to talk about saving yourself. Saving yourself. You might say, well, Minister Adam, how do I save myself? You have to learn how to save yourself from this untoward generation. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 reads, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, save yourself from this untoward generation. Which means you have to make up in your mind. You have to make up in your heart whether or not if you want holiness, whether or not if you want to go to heaven or not. I heard a preacher, and he was, and I hate to say this, this man was off. He's a pastor, and I'm not going to call out his name, but this pastor was off. I mean, he was so off. He said that God does not send people to hell for sin, but he sends them to hell for unbelief. I said the devil is a lie. First of all, which And I want y'all to get what I'm saying here before I'm sending this disclaimer out right now before I say this. There's a part of what he said was true. Rest of it was not. He was right about God not sending people to hell. God don't send nobody to hell. We send ourselves. That part was true. But the part of God don't send nobody to hell for sin, that ain't true. That's not true. That's not true. He does. He allows us to choose our destination by the way we live our life. And if we live our life in sin, we have chosen hell to be our final place in eternity. God did die for sin. That's why he died on Calvary. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life falls up under, hallelujah, when he died and he eventually sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. He sent the redeeming power that we might be able to live life to the fullest. He said in John 10:10, he says he came that we might have life and that more abundantly. Amen. He said he is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Amen. But we have to understand that we must live this life in holiness. We must live, we must have the mindset that for God I live and for God I die. It is no time now. This is no time now to be patty caking sin. I heard another preacher say something off, and we got a lot of people trying to glorify sin. And the Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The devil is a liar. And I'm here to tell you today, you cannot live in sin and think that you are going to heaven. And that goes for me. That goes for Bishop Cook. That goes for my pastor. That goes for every other watchman on the wall for people's souls. That goes for people. That goes for children. Anybody. God has no respect of person. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you have to make a choice today. You have to make a choice today. And I know I've been on here before and I've talked about choices, but this is a choice. Making this choice, whether you want to live holy or unholy, whether you want to live saved or unsaved, whether you want to be baptized in Jesus' name or whether you don't, that is a choice. Whether you want to receive the Holy Ghost or don't, that is a choice that is bringing for your eternal life. That is a choice that you must make. And you can either make the right choice or the wrong choice. And most people, because hell enlarges itself daily, a lot of people are making the wrong choice. You might say, well, Minister Adam, it sounds like you're putting people in hell. No, I didn't put nobody in hell. Bible says it's enlarging itself daily. I'm just quoting what the Bible says. If hell is enlarging itself daily, that means that people are going to hell. That's what that means. You need a place to fit people in heaven. You need a place to fit people in hell. And if hell is enlarging itself daily, and people die every day, amen, there is a fine line in holiness. You can't do whatever. If I'm going to walk with God, I can't do whatever I want to do. If I say, well, God, I'm yours. God, you can use me any way you want to. He ain't just talking about using you for preaching. Because gifts and callings come without repentance. Just because a preacher is being used to preach, it's the lifestyle. See, holiness is a lifestyle. It is the way we live our life. After you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, which is talked about in Acts 2 and 38, after you have received the Holy Ghost, you have the power to live a holy lifestyle, which is recorded in Acts 1 and 8. It says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have what? Power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to do right. Power to make the right decision. Power to say no to your flesh. Power to say no to those drugs. Power to say no to that alcohol. Power to say no to that whatever is tempting you. You got the power. But there's a lot of people in the church, and I'm talking about the church today. There's a lot of people in the church that are wrecking their lives, that are messing up their lives because they want to continue in the same bed of sin that they so-called in front of people are delivered from, but behind closed doors, they're dibbling, dabbling in the same sin. They're lying in the bed of sin and in the pig pen of life in their sins. It's time to come out. It's time to make your calling and election sure, because God is soon to come. No, I'm not. God told me to tell you, it's a warning today. You have to make your calling and election sure. It's a warning today. He is warning us to make our calling and election sure. We got to be right on all areas of our life. We got to get every bit of, and I'm talking to the saint. I'm talking to the sinner man. I'm talking to anybody that has sin on them. I don't care if it's a sin that you don't even know that you committed, because there is sins of commission and there's sins of omission. I don't care if it's a big sin, little sin. I don't care what it is. You may not even know you sinned. You might have thought the wrong way about somebody. That's a sin. You might have thought the wrong thought. Somebody might have made you mad and you thinking about beating them up. That's a sin. You need to get that together, because that's going to keep you out of heaven. The Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things. It's not the big bad wolf that comes and destroys us. It's the little things that we have let creep in. Jesus, I'm going to go there. It's the little things. You know the reason why we can't have church the way we used to have church? A lot of people are looking for the old landmark church, and we can't find the old landmark churches because we're not living in old landmark. Come on. We ain't living in old landmark territory no more. We're not living the old landmark way anymore. We're doing it any kind of way. The reason why people are not being healed, and I'm not just talking about natural healing, healing of sickness and disease. I'm talking about being healed of things they've been dealing with for years. The reason why we're not seeing the full power of God in the churches is because we letting anything and everything go. We smooth and sin over. We smooth and sin over. We know that people got sin on them, but we still letting them preach in the pulpit. We letting them sit in the pulpit, none less preach. The devil is a lie. We letting them sing. We letting them lead praise service. And we wondering why the Spirit of God is not manifesting itself in the house of God the way it should be. Because you got a big name, we letting you I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care. I said it. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. You can be the governor. You can be the president. You can be a great NFL player, basketball player. If you ain't got no Holy Ghost, you don't need to be standing up preaching. If you ain't been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, you don't need to be laying hands on nobody. You don't need to be praying for nobody. Don't do it. You don't need to be doing all that. A couple of years ago, I watched a YouTube video where Tyler Perry, and they was talking about money. They was talking about money. And in this video, Tyler Perry was at T.D. Jakes' church. And I know y'all seen the video on YouTube. But Tyler Perry just laying hands on T.D. Jakes. I ain't going to let nobody lay hands on me, and I don't know where you been. I'm going to call for the elders of the church that I know. I ain't going to let no outside person just come and lay hands on me. No. I don't know where your spirit been. And we have to go back to the old landmark. We have to go back to old landmark teaching. That's why we got to save ourselves from this untorn generation. And I ain't even give y'all the title of the topic today is check yourself before you wreck yourself. We need to check ourselves. We need to check where we're going. We need to check what we're doing before we end up having we wondering why saints are having nervous breakdowns and all out of whack in their minds and having depression and all this stuff. We wondering why saints of God are calling on the psychiatrist. It's because they letting everything go. Spirits have been leashed off in the house. They letting people pray for them that they don't need to be letting people pray for them. They going to they're going to these so-called crusades and concerts and stuff. So-called gospel concerts that ain't really gospel concerts. They really worldly concerts. Just because you say Jesus don't make it holy. Lord got me in a place where I I'm either gonna be real about it or I ain't gonna say nothing at all. When you go up there singing the praises of God and you looking like the world, the Bible says love not the world. Or anything in the world. Because if you love the world, the love of God is not in you. Light and darkness have no fellowship. We got a lot of these Christian artists, a lot of these gospel artists are singing gospel music or singing music with worldly artists. What? Why? Well, we got to give our young people something to, no, you don't. We got to give them something to draw them. You don't have to give them nothing but the altar. Give them the same stuff that they gave us back in the day. They told you to come at the altar and repent for your sin. We got to draw the young people. The young people can easily be drawn by the altar. Jesus is the best draw. You don't need all that. We got the church looking like it's a daggone concert. We got the church looking like it's a concert. We got all these lights and in the church the lights are out and the preacher's up there with all these bright lights on him and all this stuff. The devil is a liar. What in the world is going on? Why do we have to conform to the world to draw people? That's a question. Why do we have to conform to the world to draw people? I'm doing, see, the Lord told me when I was in the hospital, whatever you need to do, do it now. That's what the Lord personally told me. Whatever you was going to do for me, do it now. And I made two vows to him when I was in the hospital about 2 Sundays ago. I made two vows to him that I will continue to praise him for the rest of my life and that I would preach and live his word to the best of my ability. As long as he gives it to me, I'll preach it, I'll live it to the best of my ability until the day I see him. And the Holy Ghost, see, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is not something to play with. God ain't, God, look, everybody think, there's some people that play with God. The world plays with God a lot. And God is nothing to play with. And I'm not talking about all these false gods that the world talks about. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You want me to show you people play with God? They play with God by making vows that they break. They play with God. They say, God, if you get me out of this and you get me out of that, I'll do this, or I'll go to church. I'll continue to go to church. And then once God gets them out, they forgot they vowed 10 minutes later. And they wonder why they not blessed like they should be. Don't you know that God gets angry when you make a vow to him and you break it? You don't believe me. If you don't believe me, ask him. Ask him. There are people that make vows to God. I'll go to church if you just get me out of this situation. People that do that, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. I've done it in the past. Lord, if you get me out, I'll do this. And then somehow my knucklehead itself ends up forgetting or calling myself wanting to forget. But don't you know you're held accountable for that? If you don't make that vow, you might say, well, Minister Adam, you're everywhere. You talk about everything today. The Holy Ghost got me talking about this stuff today. We have to save ourselves from this untoward generation. This generation, yes, this generation, for this generation of young people, this generation that we are living in, you know what? I give it to them. I give them the credit where credit is due. I give them the honor where honor is due. They are more smarter. This generation is smart. This generation of young people are more smarter than my generation. My five-year-old knows how to operate a cell phone better than I do. He know how to operate TikTok, YouTube, and all that. At 5 years old, and one of my friends told me, he said, you notice that most of these kids know how to operate cell phones and do TikTok videos and know all of these songs, but they can't tell you one Bible verse. What's wrong with that picture? Because back in the Bible days, they used to teach their young people. They used to teach their young people, leaving them an inheritance, not just a natural inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, but when they're old, they will not depart. What does that mean? Whatever you instill in them, it will not leave them. We have young people that are going against the grain. We got some adults that are going against the grain. And now you wondering why children are going against the grain, because they're sitting over there watching the adults do it, so they think that they can do it. They see them going off. They see the adults going off, so they think that they can go off. And that adult that has that child, they wondering why they going off on them. Okay. But let me tell you, we gotta save this generation. We gotta teach this generation. I'm gonna say it like my great grandmother used to tell me, if you can learn all of this stuff, if you can learn all of these singers' names, if you can learn all of that stuff on YouTube, you can learn that Bible. You can learn what's in the Bible. You can learn what's going on now. You can learn your books of the Bible. You can learn about Matthew. You can learn about the book of Acts. You can learn and know what it means. You can learn the steps of salvation and know what it means. Well, your parents ain't got to tell you, or a person ain't got to tell you where to find it at. One of my first things that my father, when I became old enough to understand, one of the first things my father taught me was the Word of God. He taught me the Word of God. One of the first verses I ever learned in life, one of the first Bible verses I ever learned was Psalms 100. And that stuck with me because my father taught me that. My father, and it wasn't in Sunday school. It was my father teaching me a Bible verse. Amen. This is what we need to do. This is why. When are we leaving the next church? It should the Lord tarry. Now, I don't think he's going to tarry too much longer. But we don't. No man know the day nor the hour when the Lord shall appear. Now, we know that he's coming, but we don't know what we're going to see before the Lord's coming. Yes, I understand. He could come today. He can come in the next few minutes. He can come next week. He can come next year, whatever. But we don't know what we're going to see before he comes. We might end up having another generation before he comes. Me personally, and this is not scripture, this is my own personal opinion, I doubt it, but we could. We don't know. No man know the day nor the hour. But we got to stay, we got to check our life with God. We got to check ourselves before we wreck our whole life up, before we wreck ourselves. Stop worrying about what we have so many people worried about jobs, worried about cars, worried about clothes, worried about this, worried about that, and their spiritual beings are dormant. They're dormant. Their spiritual beings are just rotting away. They have no life. They're existing. They're not living. Because true life lies in the hands of the Lord. True life lies in the light, in Jesus Christ. We have to check our own lives every day to make sure that we're right with him. We have to make sure that we're right with him. Because we got a lot of people that call themselves Christian. But there's a fine line between Christianity and Christianity. Christian. There's a fine line between you just saying you're a Christian and saying, I'm Holy Ghost filled. I've been water baptized. There's a fine line between I have repented of my sin and I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There's an old saying that says, I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. It was the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost power that keeps me, that moves me, that keeps my mind regulated, that shields me. Amen. That gives me life when I feel like I have no life. When I feel like I have no body, I know beyond the shadow of all doubt that his spirit lies within me. And I got power to denounce sin. Why? Because greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. I got the greater on the inside of me. There's an old song that says, joy bells keep ringing in my soul. Why do you think joy bells keep ringing in a person's soul? That's a person that's got the Holy Ghost. Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. You're not going to find the right joy without Jesus. Amen? You can't find it. You definitely can't find it in a person. You definitely can't find it in a car or a house or some clothes. You definitely, most definitely, can't find it in a man or a woman. I love my wife and I love my children, but they can't do me like Jesus. I love my mother and my father, my sisters, my brothers, my nieces, my nephews, my aunts and my uncles, and every other person that's in my family. But they all can't do me like Jesus. And you know what? I can give you a short account in my life, just in my life. I can give you the testimony where my family has been all around me. And there was a time when I was going through and where family couldn't help me. They were there, but they couldn't help me. Amen. If they could, they would have, but they couldn't help me. And I called on the name of Jesus. See, there's a fine line between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. It's time to move. It is time to remove the veil. It's time to move the veil off and let's see what's going on. It's time to put a dividing line between clean and unclean. It's time for the church to be clean again in every area of our life. We got to save ourselves from this untorn generation. The body of Christ has been travailing. We've got spiritual pain going on in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church itself, has spiritual pain. Like as a woman travailing with a child. In them pains, I've been told that a woman that has the woman that is pregnant with a child, them labor pains and them pregnancy pains, they hurt. They hurt. And we got spiritual pains going on in the church. We got people that are hungry for the word of God, and we got preachers and teachers that are teaching every wind and doctrine. Why? Look, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. And yes, you can call this radio station. You can get in touch with me yourself if you want to. You can hit me up on Facebook. If you are a pastor or a preacher that's preaching false doctrine, that is preaching prosperity messages all the time, that are preaching watered-down doctrine, let me tell you something. Sit down. Sit down and shut up. Because we got people. You ain't, if you ain't in it for the souls, if you in it just to make people's flesh feel good, sit down somewhere. We got people that are really hungering for the word of God. The Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And with you in the way, you hindering them. So move out of the way. Take your stuff and get out of the way. And I charge you today. I charge you today. Every preacher that called himself a preacher that is preaching every wind and doctrine that it's okay to do whatever you want to do. It's okay to do this and do that. And it's okay to do a little dab of this and a little dab of that sin and a little dab of this sin. And you can still be safe. The devil is a liar. It's okay for you to sleep with this person and sleep with that person and still be saved. The devil is a liar. If it ain't your wife or your husband, you don't need to be sleeping with them. If you ain't married, you shouldn't be sleeping with nobody. Sexual immorality going on. Sexual immorality is going on in the church. You lusting after another woman's wife or another woman or another man's husband, the devil is a liar. People having affairs right up in the church. The devil is a liar. You need to sit down somewhere and be taught something. Your flesh rising up. That's why it's not good. That's why it's not good. I remember back in the day, and this is way, way before I got married. I was about 23, 24 years old. And there was a young lady that came to my former church. And she called herself liking me. And I said, that's fine, you know, whatever, But there was one day I was happened to be sitting in the church, and in the middle of service, I had happened to be sitting next to this young lady. And this young lady told me that she was interested in me and things like that. And I told her, you know, I'm really not interested, you know, in you like that, you know. And I told her, because I'm trying to strive to live holy. I'm trying to live saved. I'm not thinking about that right now. And then I was, at that time, I was interested in another young lady at my church. Amen. And the other young lady was saved and, you know, whatnot. And this young lady that was interested in me and was sitting next to me began to do some inappropriate things right up in the church. And I quickly told her, I said, look, first of all, you in the church. That's the first thing. First thing. And I told her, and I went to my parents because I was going to go to my pastor. And I asked my mother, because it was dealing with a female, I went to my mama. I said, Mama, I know that the Bible says that it's not that it's not appropriate for a man to touch a woman. But it, does that mean the same thing for the woman to be touching a man? She said, yes. I said, okay, well, look, this is what happened. And I began to tell her what happened. And I went to this young lady, and I took my mother, because I wanted to take somebody I knew that would understand and I knew that was saved. And I went to this young lady, and I told her I was not interested in her like that, and I told her, do not touch me like that. It's not appropriate. I'm not your husband, and you are not my wife. And the and then you doing that in the church. You're not, that's not appropriate to be doing, whether you're married or not, you ain't supposed to be doing all of that stuff in the church. No way. Whether you're married or not. And I told her, I told this young lady, the next time you do that, my pastor and your pastor, me and you are going to have a meeting. Because I'm not putting up with it. Because we let things slide. And the reason why I brought that up, because we let things go on and go on and go on in the church. Why? What is it for the devil to bring in more spirit in the church? That's another thing that we got to fight off. That's another spirit we got to fight off, because now that spirit done crept itself up in the church. But we got to save ourselves from this untoward generation. If you don't want to live saved, that's fine. That's great. Well, it ain't great. But if you don't want to live holy, that's your choice. But I'm going to say like the Bible says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to take it deeper than that. If my wife don't want to go, she ain't going to stop me from going. If my children don't want to go, they ain't going to stop me from going either. I love them all. If my pastor don't want to go, oh, well, pastor, if you don't want, Lord, and I know my pastor, I know my pastor and my first lady are not like this. I'm just using this as an example, y'all. They ain't sinned or anything like that. I'm going to put that disclaimer out there right now. But if my pastor chose us to knock his head and say, well, I don't want to live saved no more. Okay, pastor, let me tell you something. I'm going to go on and live holy, because I got a charge to keep and a God to glorify. Amen. That's the way we have to be in this era that we are living in, because a lot of people are standing for anything, and they just, 1 minute they're in and the next minute they're out because of something that's going on in their life. Amen. We need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We have to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Amen. We have to check our own soul salvation. Make sure I'm right with God, to make sure I'm in good standings with the Lord before. And look, let me tell you, let me say this. I can't, me as a preacher, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. But if I'm not in good standings with God, how am I going to be able to be effective with somebody, helping somebody else, if I'm not in good standings with the Lord? Now, there are always some things I need to work on. Now, I'm not saying that, because we're being perfected daily. Amen. We're striving for perfection. None of us have made it. I'm not saying that, because we strive for perfection. But if I'm not living it to the best of my ability, using the knowledge that I do have to live for the Lord, if I'm just, you know, living lackadaisy because I want to, or I'm living an untorn, beat up life all because I want to, or living a life in sin because I want to, and I'm calling myself a preacher, how can I help somebody else? You telling people, there are preachers that are telling people it's okay for you to dibble and dabble in sin and still be saved. No. Do you not know that the Bible says, woe unto them that scattereth my sheep? Woe unto them. Do you know what that means? Woe unto them. That means a judgment is upon you and the blood is on your hands. And that don't necessarily mean, when it says scattereth my sheep, that don't necessarily mean that they leave in the church neither. They could be lost spiritually and then be right up in your church. And they just as lost. They just as lost as a person that tries to put two left shoes on the same foot. They just as lost. They in Alice in Wonderland every day. Every time they come to church, they in Alice in Wonderland every day. And they can't get their life right. They just can't get it right. And you wondering why they life and is that you wondering why they life is in Alice in Wonderland because you keep telling them this. What do you think that they gonna do? They gonna fuck. Look, people do not have to learn how to sin. I'm gonna say that right now. People, whether they be saved or unsaved, they do not have to learn how to live unholy. They don't have to learn that. A child does not have to learn how to live unholy. They come into the world unholy. They don't have to learn that. They do not have, a person does not have to learn how to be unholy. They don't have to learn how to live their life dirty. They come into the world dirty. They come into the world in iniquity. They come into the world in sin. They don't have to learn that. They don't have to come into the world learning how to please their flesh. They ain't got to learn that. They come into the world being flesh pleasers because of sin. They don't have to learn that. People do not have to learn that. But they have to learn how to be God pleasers. They have to learn the ways and the statutes of God. And the ways and statutes of God are not pertained to sin. It's not pertaining to the way you want to live your life. It's pertaining to the way God wants us to live our life. I've said it once and I'll say it again. This Bible is a holy book. It is not to be read like any regular book. It is not to be read like any regular novel. This book, this holy book, is a book of life. This book will change you because it's God's word. He can change your life if you allow him to. Every problem that we are faced with, we can find it in the Word of God. Well, you might say, well, there's certain things that are not mentioned in the Bible, Minister Adam, like the word rapture. Yep, you're right. The word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible. But guess what? So is the word Trinity ain't mentioned in the word Bible either. But guess what? The difference between the word rapture and the word Trinity, there is no such thing as a Trinity in the Bible. For those of you that believe in the Trinity, Trinitarian belief is believing in three different entities. God is not three different entities. When he refers himself, he always refers himself as one individual. When he was talking, when he was on the earth, it was his natural side speaking. When he said, I and my Father are one, his natural side was speaking. He's that powerful. He was that powerful enough to be in heaven, yet be on the earth. He is that powerful. He is that powerful God enough to be Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Amen. And the difference between Trinity, the word Trinity, you're not going to find the word Trinity in the Bible. And you're not going to find anything that brings out the word Trinitarian or Trinity in the Bible either. Amen. But you will find about the word rapture. Believe in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. Amen. Where it talks about the catching away of the saints. Amen. Which means the word rapture. Amen. You and I have to live this thing to the best of our ability. Everything that we do must be for the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that we live, the way that we give, the way that we conduct ourselves in all matter of conversation. Don't you know that evil communication corrupt good manners, the Bible says? Who you hang around. You got to watch who you hang around. Amen. To keep your life clean. You got to watch who you hang around. You got to watch who you associate yourself with. You ain't going to associate. Now, I'm not saying that you stick your nose up in the air thinking that you're better than anybody else. But some people can't go with you. I am saying that. Some people can't go with you where God is trying to take you. Where God is trying to take you. I have friends. I have associates. I have associates that are associates now that were my friends back when I was in school. But I got the instance and I got the mindset that I can't do what they're doing. I can't hang out where they're hanging out. I can't go where they're going. Why? Because if I go where they're going, I'm going to mess up my walk with Christ. Now, if they want to mess up their walk with Christ, that's fine with me. That's fine with me because it ain't my walk. I can't tell them where to go. They can't tell me where to go. But I'm not trying to mess up my walk with Christ. My walk with Christ is too precious for me to mess that up. There's some friends that I ain't hang with in years because of the way they live their life. Some of my friends might get mad at me. I don't care. The reason why I don't care, it's not because I'm a goody-goody two-shoes. It's not because I'm trying to be holier than thou. It's none of that. It's because I'm trying to protect what God has blessed me with. I got a charge to keeping a God to glorify. I mean, when I say I don't care, I mean I don't care because I mean business with God, not man. Because I mean every word that I'm saying, because I don't know when the trump is going to sound. I don't know when he's going to call me home. I don't know, and I don't want to leave here with my works undone. I got to be about my Father's business. I got to be, there is a mature discipline when you walk with Christ. You have to be disciplined when you walk with Christ. There is an obligation of discipline when you walk with Christ. You can't do everything you want to do. You can't go every place you want to go. You can't live any kind of way you want to live. You can't even talk, dress. You can't do none of that the way you want to do it, because most of the time when the way we want to do it is the way our flesh wants to do it, and it is not pleasing to the will of God. So we got to do it the way God wants us to do it. Why do we got to always do it the way God wants us to do it? Well, God said that he knows us better than we know ourselves. So therefore, if God knows us better than we know ourselves, then God knows us. God knows what we need. God knows what we have need of. God knows what we need at that time. God knows what.
God knows the ending from the beginning. God knows what destruction waits for us if we go down the wrong road. That's why we need to do it God's way. Amen? This is the reason why we need to do it the Lord's way and not our way. Because his way, there's a way, the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is what? Death. And guess what? What leads to death? The wages of sin is death. And flesh, when you walk in your flesh, flesh will have you walking down the road of sin, which will lead to your death. And I'm not just talking about natural death. I'm talking about your spiritual death, which it will have you leading you down to a final road to, to hell, which will have a person leading them to the final destination in hell because they wanted to live their life the way they wanted to. They didn't want to live their life for God. They wanted to plead. They wanted to do everything that the flesh wanted to do. So now they end up in hell because they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. And all disobedience is sin. If you're not doing it God's way, if God told you to do it this way and you're doing it a different way, that's disobedience, and all disobedience is sin. Why do you think that sin came upon the world? Why? Because of Adam's disobedience. We got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We got to save ourselves from this untorn generation. So many people want the watered-down version. Just give me something that's going to please my flesh. Give me the word that's going to please my flesh. Tell me something that's going to tickle my fancy. Don't you know that the word of God doesn't always come to tickle your fancy, to tell you that you're going to receive a car or a house? The word of God comes. He don't care. And let me say this before I say that. The word of God does not care about you receiving a car or a house or a business or starting a new business or receiving millions upon millions of dollars or getting prophesied that you're going to receive a job or whatever. God don't care nothing about that. I'm going to be honest with you. God don't care nothing about that. He knows what you have need of. As long as he blesses you with your need, a car is not a need. Might be a need in some people's family. Now, am I disputing having things in your life? No. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Having cars, having a car, having a house, no, I'm not disputing that. You might say, well, you're saying that I'm not allowed to have that. God said I'm allowed to have it. You are allowed to have it as long as you prosper and as your soul prospers. But if your soul is not prospering and the only thing that's prospering is your natural life, something is wrong. Good God Almighty. You got people that have millions upon millions upon billions of billions of dollars, but they soul is so messed up and they wonder why they in a depressed state. Uh-oh. They got all cars and clothes and money in the world. They got all the businesses in the world, but they yet depressed. Because their souls is not prospering. And let me tell you, there are people that are selling their souls for the natural things on the earth. They selling their souls for cars, money, all of this stuff. But what does it profit a man? The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is the most important thing that you could ever hold in this world. Your soul. You might think, well, no, my children are more important. My man is more important. My wife is more important. No, the devil is a lie. If it calls me to try to, if somebody asks me, would you give up your soul? Would you sell your soul for your children? No, I'm not. Why? Because would you sell your soul for your children to live? Nope.
No, I would not. Why? Because you got to think about it like this. I didn't bring them into the world. Me and my wife, you know, we had the child, but that child was sent by God. And if God gave us that child, God can bless that child. God can protect that child. God can give that child what it needs, even when I can't. That's why. Would you sell your soul for $1 million? No. Why? Because I read in the Bible that he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Why would I want to sell my soul for money? It don't make no sense. When I serve a God that owns it all, it don't make no sense. And if you got another analogy, you can call the station and give me your other analogy, because it don't make no sense to me. Why somebody would want to give up their life, especially if you live in your life for the Lord, and you just want to give it up to spend one more night with the frogs, or God is tugging at you, and you like, I'll give my life tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? What if tomorrow doesn't come? I just had a health scare in my life. Well, I thought I was getting ready to leave up out of here, y'all. I don't really think I touched on sitting in a church, y'all, praising God, and all of a sudden felt like I was having a heart attack. Come to find out, I had a blood clot in my heart and in my lung. Could have died. No money in the world could have helped me. Doctor told me, because I had thought about going home, not going to the second service. That's why when the church doors is open, I tell everybody, go to church every time the church doors is open. You got a golden opportunity to be at church, go to church. God got to bless them with your name on it every time. Well, Sunday's my only day off. Sunday's my only day off. I'm tired. Look, let me tell you something. Do you not know I used to work a job where I used to get off at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, had to be up by 8, 9 o'clock just to make Sunday school? And I worked a hard job. I used to work at Amazon. But I still made it to church, and I still made it. Not only did I make it to church, but I made it on time because my love for the Lord, my love for my relationship with Christ. I didn't let a job stop me making it to the house of God. And I wasn't going to the house of God to see what Sally Sue had on or see what my pastor was, what type of suit my pastor was wearing. I came there to give God praise that I was able to make it to his house. I came there to get a word from the Lord so I can get through the next week. So I can dine on the word of God for that week. I came there to get some strength. I didn't come there to see what brother so-and-so had on. I'm not here to see to gossip with sister so-and-so and wondering if getting mad that other brother so-and-so didn't say praise the Lord to me and all of this mess. Come on, y'all. Let's get right, church, and let's go home. Come on, y'all. Let's get right. Let's get right, y'all. Let's get right and let's go home. Amen. I praise God. for the word of God. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. But I praise God for the word of God. I praise God for the word of God. And I want to do something right now. Before I want to do this, because the Lord is leading me to do this, I want to pray. I want to pray for somebody over the airways. And if you have a testimony, a prayer request, you can leave it in the chat room or you can call in or whatever. I mean, and if you have an unspoken request, you can leave it as unspoken. But I want to pray for those that are going through. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's health-wise. I don't care if it's spiritual. I don't care what it is. But I want to pray because the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Man should always pray. Amen. And I want to pray a special prayer for the watchmen on the wall, the ones that are standing on truth. Amen. I want to pray for pastors and bishops and all of them, the ones that are standing on truth. Amen. Pray for their strength. Pray for the saints of God's strength that they continue. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we're asking you to bless right now. We praise you and we magnify you, God, for all that you are doing right now and all that you have done. We thank you for bringing us over into another day, a day that we have never seen before and a day that we'll never see again. Lord God, I pray this day that you bless all pastors that are standing on truth today. In the name of Jesus Christ, be everything that they stand in the need of,
yes,
Lord God.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I claim healing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I claim healing throughout the world, God. In the name of Jesus, whoever's listening to this broadcast right now, I claim healing, Lord God. I command your angels to be encamped around about them. Be everything that they stand in need of, God. In the name of Jesus. Satan, we take authority against you right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over every circumstance concerning them, every circumstance that concerning every listener. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we take authority over the enemy. In Jesus' name, you said in your word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you will lift up a standard against him, Lord God. Lord God, be that standard, Lord God. Lord God, be that fence around us, Lord God, as we continue to press on, Lord God, to see what the end is going to be. Lord, give us more joy. Give us a better prayer life. Give us a better fasting life. Give us more wisdom, God, in you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Lord God, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, bless our young people, the ones that have started school, even the ones that are starting school on next week, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to bless every young person, whether they be saved or unsaved, God. Bless them in the classroom. Bless them on the bus stops, Lord God. Bless them in the college dorms, Lord God. Continue to protect them, Lord God. Lord God, we ask for your mercy over the United States right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless our president. Bless our vice president, Lord God. Bless all of our government officials in every single state, in Jesus' name. Bless around this world, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God.
Man, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
If you,
See, I believe, and I got only a few minutes, but I believe after prayer comes praise. After prayer comes praise. And if you believe that
Hallelujah.
God is going to answer your prayer, I dare
yeah.
you to give him some praise. Hallelujah. See, I'm a firm believer in praise, and I love
you,
praising
Jesus.
The Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. We got to learn to praise him, even though we're going through the battle, even though we're going in the midst of the fight. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Bishop Cook, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I claim, hallelujah, healing for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. From the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, it shall not come nigh dwelling no more. And these Egyptians you shall see no more in Jesus' name. Every pastor and every person that is going through a problem or an issue, whether it be health-wise, whatever it is, these Egyptians you shall see no more in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. And we thank you for being a part of this broadcast on today. On the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be transformed. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way for you to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way for you to see heaven one day, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I'll see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Wonderful program. God bless you, Bishop Carver. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook.
I see you. Love you. Bye.
What?